This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Jeff Sandu together with Angeline Tay in the studio. It's a Thursday today. It's also the sixth day of the Chinese New Year, and I'm sure some of you are still celebrating out there.
And we have a couple of Chinese New Year related stories, both involving money, of course, and a study into Gen Z's behavior towards ads. Also, at the end of today's show, you can forget about flying cars. because there's a new thing on the block. It's a passenger drone.
Yeah, but first, back to Chinese New Year mood. Now, Angie, have you been active this Chinese New Year visiting relatives and friends?
Yes, like every other year. Went back to Klang. I don't know, sometimes it's something you look forward to, sometimes it's not something you look forward to.
Well, there's one thing that you probably look forward to is, you know, collecting ang pao or giving out ang pao.
Yes, I think
Have you been active this year?
Yes, but it's awkward, right? Being at this age and then you're still collecting ang pao.
You're collecting and then you got to give out as well.
Yeah. So
have you received or given out any interesting ang pao? Like, you talked about virtual ang pao. Have you done any of those before?
No. Virtual ang pao, actually.
Well, yeah. We've spoken about this before, and it's a huge thing in China. Well, let me correct that. It's massive in China because WeChat, they just recorded 14.2 billion digital ang paos or hong baos that were exchanged over WeChat, the app itself, on the eve of Chinese New Year alone. That's just that one day.
Yeah, and that's a whopping 74% increase from last year when it was just, 8 billion virtual red packets that were sent out over WeChat. And in 2015, it was just over 1 billion. So the spike in people using WeChat to send virtual red packets have been on a continuous upscale. Perhaps I think this is also due to WeChat's growing in popularity across the world, and majority of its target market are ones who are fairly comfortable with digital transactions and digitizing a tradition.
Yeah, so WeChat actually rolled out this feature in 2014, and like you mentioned, Angie, it's been a runaway success for them. They peaked at about 760,000 transactions per second at the midnight of Chinese New Year Eve this year. They aren't the only ones who are actually doing this. WeChat is up against rival Alibaba's Alipay. Alipay tried to strike back by promoting its own digital red packets feature with games. We've talked about this before, and cash giveaways, but they haven't actually sort of released numbers, so we haven't got like official numbers from Alipay. It would be fairly interesting to see, you know, which of these two came out on top.
Yeah, but what's also interesting to note is that WeChat's numbers, 14.2 billion digital ang paos are numbers of transaction, but not the value. But even so, if every transaction was just 1 ringgit, it would have meant 14.2 billion ringgit. I guess we'll know the value in a bit, as Chinese New Year is still ongoing at least until the 11th of February. That's Chap Gome.
Yeah, so a lot of these virtual ang paos, the trend, it seems to be spreading very well, and it's spreading via word of mouth, because both WeChat and Alipay, they didn't actually have a lot of digital campaigns to push this out. And if you're thinking, you know, this is all in China, well, actually over here in Malaysia, we do have at least one telco who's trying out this, you know, virtual ang paos, and they themselves, you know, it hasn't been really much of a promotional, but I bet you next year this thing might, you know, take off.
Ooh, and I'm just not sure if this will fit in traditions, right? I think it's cool to have virtual ang paos, but even if you take the tradition out of ang paos, it's still a nice personal touch to receive a red packet.
Yeah, it's nice to hold cash, you know, hard, solid cash, right?
Yeah, and also that personalized feeling, you know, when you're picking the right ang pao packet, and then the looks, and then deciding on who you should give out and so forth. And just imagine this, what if Facebook develops a virtual ang pao that you can give to anyone, like those virtual birthday cakes and stuff. And if you have 1,000 of Facebook friends, it's all done with just a click. It's, you know, great, but Chinese New Year or any other celebration for that matter is about being, you know, personalized, right? Have that personal touch and that welcoming feeling you get. So digital or virtual ang pao works great and should exist, as it does help, you know, for those who are away from their family and are still able to get a taste of it. But personally, I prefer traditional red packets anytime.
Yeah, and if you'd like to send some to us, those traditional ang paos with money, of course, inside, you can send it over to us at BFM. Our address is on our website at bfm.my, or better yet, you can download the BFM app on the App Store or Google Play.
Now, over in Bangkok, the year of rooster sure brought a windfall for some. Although cockfighting is banned and in many countries on grounds of animal cruelty, it's huge business in Thailand and it's a really popular pastime. And being the year of the rooster, the top bird was sold for, what, $70,000?
Wow. Now, according to the organizer, it's the year of the golden rooster, so the value of the rooster has gone up even more. And you know what else is gold in color and has also gone up in the year of the rooster?
What?
Our petrol. Anyways, I personally also have not seen or actually planned to witness a cockfight, but according to the report, each fight involves two roosters facing off in a pit, and then they lurch at each other, inflicting damage with the beaks and wings. And in each round, apparently lasts about 22 minutes long, and there could be up to 6 rounds depending on the rooster's endurance.
Wow. However, unlike in many countries, the Thai roosters do not fight to the death. Mm-hmm. Instead, the first bird to cover away losses the match. And last Sunday's winning rooster was purchased for 2.5 million baht.
Yeah, so that's one feisty rooster. Anyways, I would love to say that the other word, rooster, but I can't, so I get into trouble. Anyways, we'll take a short break. We'll stick around because later on, if you're struggling to impress a Gen Z's through your marketing campaigns, well, there's a study to explain why they are a tough cookie to crack. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9. And we're back on Enterprise Biz Bytes with me, Jeff, together with Angie. So, a new study was released yesterday by Kantar Millward Brown about engaging Gen X, Y, and Z's ad reaction. We'll focus more on Gen Z today. And here's a very summarized conclusion of the study, in case you're waiting to the end. Gen Z in Southeast Asia are hard to impress.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
And for those who had enough and perhaps, you're confused with all these labels of Gen Y, Z, whatever this means. So here's a quick recap. Gen Z are folks born in the 60s to 80s. Gen Y are like me and you, Jeff, born between 80s to year 2000. And of course, Gen Zs are kids today who are born after the year 2000.
Yeah. So now, despite growing up in a digital age, the results show that Gen Z in Southeast Asia is the hardest age group to reach with advertising. Surprisingly, their daily mobile usage is actually lower than that of older generations, as 74% of them spent about an hour a day on their mobile devices, compared to 83% for the Gen Ys, the you and me's, and also the 77% for the Gen X's. Mm.
And they're also consuming less TV, radio, and print media, with 52% of Gen Z watching an hour of more of TV each day, compared to 66% of Gen Y and 77% for Gen X.
Yeah, so according to the report, Gen Z in Southeast Asia are hard to impress and want brands to respect their online space. They are more positive towards mobile rewards, video, and skippable pre-rolls. I guess it's no surprises here because, if you grew up in the digital space, you do kind of treat it as your own personal space as well. So wouldn't you want anything that's... You wouldn't want anything that's intrusive into your space, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. And Gen Z is also widely known as the impatient generation, right? Mm. The report showed that they favor having an element of control. At least their least favorite formats are the invasive ads, such as the non-skippable pre-rolls.
Hate them.
And Gen Y too, apparently. Some countries are less tolerant than others when it comes to these formats. For example, Gen Z in Indonesia and Vietnam are more damning of pop-ups and negative 30% than those in Philippines or Thailand, who are almost indifferent to their use at negative 5%. And Gen Z across Southeast Asia are also less tolerant of ads longer than 10 seconds than older generations.
Yeah, so here lies the danger for brands, because the only way for your brand to be seen is through ads. But 1 in 4 Gen Z uses an ad blocking software on their computers, and about 18% of them have installed it on their phones. Brand owners, so it's, it's time to work on an alternative ways to engage and capture the attention of Gen Zs, because they're not aware about you at all.
Yeah, and to do that, finding the right creative approach is really important to garner positive response. So the report showed that humor is what Gen Z prefer, with 58% of them agreeing, and then the ability to tell an interesting story and the inclusion of good music. However, newer approaches such as the use of special effects and augmented reality are actually less popular.
Surprisingly, the use of celebrities is also not the silver bullet for many brands that they expect, with only 22% of of Gen Zs in Southeast Asia saying, you know, they made them feel more comfortable or more positive about the ad. This was even lower, about 17%, for ads that feature local social media celebrities. And I thought that, you know, social media influencers are effective, but, well, I guess it doesn't reflect with this report.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the takeaway from this report is to respect their space and generate ads that feel real and honest. And I guess another important point is inviting them to have a choice if they want to follow your brand or not, since, you know, Gen Z love to be in control.
Mm. I'm still quite shocked that, you know, social media influencers are not as effective for these Gen Zs. But I guess because they look at it and go like, I also can do. So, you
yeah,
know, maybe
I
that's
can be that, the influencer.
Yeah, there's a competition going on. So anyway, so fellow marketers, Gen Z is fast emerging group of consumers, and it's about time to consider their preferences if you want to be successful in engaging them. Now we'll take for a short break and we'll be right back with a story on Google to tell you just how bad the parking is in around certain areas. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9. And we're back, and so you're still listening to me, Jeff and Angie. And you know what? I've always wondered why GPS and navigation apps don't actually tell you how bad the parking is at your destination. I mean, if they can track traffic jams, hazards, and even, you know, hidden policemen along the way, which I find it very helpful. Why can't they actually tell you if the parking situation is a good is you know good or a complete nightmare at the place that you're driving to?
Yeah, I know what you mean, especially in those places where sometimes the parking is super easy and you find a spot in less than a minute, and then other times you can circle around for half an hour and still not find any single empty spot. Anyway, Google Maps is finally stepping in to help us with our parking problems because they've started giving places parking scores to help people prepare for the parking situation ahead.
Yeah, but this doesn't really help that much because it's not real-time tracking. Basically, Google says it's using historical parking data to calculate your parking difficulty scores, which will be displayed in Google Maps directions cards as limited, medium, or easy, depending on the parking situation in the area.
I think it helps you plan ahead and get mentally prepared for what kind of mess is waiting for you at places like Gapong or Pichong or Cheras, right?
Those places just always jam. Like, it was always be limited all the time, right? Unfortunately, though, it's only available in the US at the moment, so let's not get too excited over here just yet. People over there saw the added feature earlier this month, and it just shows how Google is starting to leverage on Google Maps' massive install base and the data it has to create new and useful features like this.
Yeah, like back in November, they used anonymous location data to launch something called Popular Times, which is a tool that allows you to see a business's most hectic hours. And the difference with this tool is that it now works in real time.
Yeah, so who knows? Maybe Google Maps' new parking prediction feature will also be, you know, a real-time feature in the near future. Honestly, though, I don't think the current version would work well in places like KL because traffic conditions here are unpredictable and can change every 5 minutes or so. So historical data won't be helpful. We kind of need real-time tracking, you know, all the time, 24 hours. Yeah.
Like our weather here.
Yes.
And I can't argue with that. Anyway, Google is launching the feature first in 25 US metros, including San Francisco, Seattle, Miami, Atlanta, Boston, you know, a whole bunch of other major cities. As for us, we'll just have to wait and see if Google releases a version soon that could work for countries like Thailand, Indonesia, and even here in Malaysia.
Yeah, you can still travel to the US if you want to try this out. And, you know, we're not sort of, you know, having any problems at the moment. The option is also only available on Google Maps for Android at the time being, but like other Maps edition, it should roll out into iOS at a later date. Also, if you're a Waze user, you might have noticed that they have something similar. It kind of tells you of, you know, the places that you can park around your destination area, but it's not really real time, or it doesn't really tell you how much of spaces they left. Anyways, that's all the time we have for today's show. If you've missed out the earlier parts, well, here's a recap. The first two stories for today are the Chinese New Year related stories. WeChat, they recorded 14.2 billion ang paos were exchanged this year. No word yet on Alipay's virtual rate packet feature.
And because it's the year of golden rooster in Thailand, the winning rooster in their cockfighting activity was sold for more than 70,000 US dollars.
Wow. And then there's a study on why Gen Zs are harder to impress in your digital campaigns and what are the secrets to unlock their attention.
And just a few seconds ago, we talked about how Google will now help you in your parking woes by telling you just how bad the parking is around the area you're heading to.
Yeah, if you missed out any parts of the show, just download the BFM app on the App Store or Google Play. Or you can, and then you also got to just look out for today's Enterprise Biz Bites. Now then, coming up at 12:30 p.m., it's the Breakfast Grill replay. Melissa Idris, she spoke to Daud Vickery Abdullah. He's the president and also the CEO of INSEF.
So Daud Vickery Abdullah believes that academic accreditation would be a building block for the future of Islamic finance. So Melissa spoke to him about how the Islamic finance is impacting the global banking sector.
Yep, that's happening next. And this has been the Enterprise Biz Bites, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.